This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Jennifer Nestline joins me live in studio. She's the co-founder and the editor of Brainchild Magazine, online at brainchildmag.com. How are you? It's good to see you.
I'm good. Good to see you.
Thank you for coming in. Remind us about Brainchild. It started when and what exactly is it?
Brainchild started in 2000. Our first issue came out then. It's the only print literary magazine about motherhood.
The only print, and it's won all sorts of awards. What's a big award that it read? The big award that it won?
Our most recent one was the Utney Independent Press Award, and that was last spring.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I know.
That's
There's
really
a ceremony
something.
And everything.
There was?
Yeah.
Did they put a medal over you or something?
We got like a neat plaque. And
really?
Yeah,
cool.
I got all gussied up and went to this.
Where was it held?
In D.C., at the Mandarin Hotel, I think.
There you go.
It was very fancy.
Yeah. Yeah. Did they give you dinner?
Yes.
Chicken?
They did. I'm mostly remembering the wine that they gave
us. Oh, there you go. So for folks who aren't familiar with Brainchild, and a lot of the people here in our community are, of course, I hear people talking about it. But for those who aren't, give us some idea of like what you're working on now and what's usually in there.
Okay. It's a lot of personal essays. We have long-form journalism, book reviews, news, humor, fiction. What I'm looking at the current issue right now, and there's a lot of just really great thought-provoking stuff. It doesn't tell you what to do. It's more, you know, why it is.
So it's more of observations about mothering than the how-to and the Dr. Spock kind of do this, the don't do that kind of stuff.
Right. And, for example, something we have in here now, we have a debate every issue, and this debate is about whether, you know, sort of what it tells your kids when you make them share a bedroom or not. Another one we have is by a woman who has to hire a nanny, and she always thought that she never would. She was, you know, she puts it, she grew up a black girl in the Rust Belt, and her name is Renee Sims, and it's a really great essay about, you know, trying to reconcile her ideals. You know, she wants to hire a fellow mother of color and pay her very well, but what she really needs is someone to work part-time for not quite as much money, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a great one. I mean, there's a great one by Paul Hanstedt, which is about when your kid gets bullied. And
I know
just,
Paul.
Yeah.
He teaches English down at Roanoke College.
He does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, great guy.
Yeah, he was great to work with. His essay is fabulous. It really captures this thing that, you know, you're not really supposed to talk about, which is feeling rage at like a four-year-old when they mess with your kid. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
When another kid messes with your kid.
Right.
Yeah. And it can be challenging too when one of your kids messes with one of your kids. You know? That can be challenging too. And I've had to explain that before. It's like, no, you don't understand. Nobody hurts my child. Even my child. I am not going to sit by and let that happen. No hitting, no pulling hair. We're talking with Jennifer Nestline. The magazine is Brainchild. Brainchild Magazine, online at brainchildmag.com. And Jennifer, I asked you to come in today to talk about a recent essay that you wrote that explores parenting and what influences parenting. Because it's really fascinating how the way we parent is influenced, studies show, and you have learned, by other people parenting around us, and we don't even realize it's happening.
Yeah, I came up with this idea. You know, you get to a certain age in your life and you start noticing, you know, that things start happening in waves, like couples, you know, divorce sort of like in waves. There's not just some isolated divorce or isolated infidelity. And so Stephanie Wilkinson, who's my co-editor, we were talking about how that might work and how, you know, sort of the unthinkable becomes thinkable when you know somebody who's not, you know, who's not a monster. I'm talking about doing bad things, but this also works for good phenomena, too.
Yeah, yeah.
So I came across this book by Nicholas Christakis and James Fowler. It's a book called Connected, and they're social scientists, and they write about their work. A couple of their studies found that obesity is contagious, found that happiness is contagious, and it is contagious even 3 degrees of separation away from you.
Holy cow.
Yeah. And so I thought, okay, well, how
and
does
not
this...
biologically. Well, maybe we may not know yet, but culturally, it's something that you just sort of pick up.
It is. And there's a couple ways it happens. One is, you know, emotional contagion. You know, if somebody comes home and that person is very cranky, then, you know, you could see in your house how everybody gets sort of infected with that mood. But on a, I guess on a larger scale, what happens is norms change. When you know somebody, say, who gains a lot of weight, this is according to their research, you know that person, and, you know, your idea of, like, what's an acceptable, what's over the limit of acceptability, you know, weight-wise, it changes. Because you know that person, you know they're still the same great person, they just have, like, an extra 20 pounds on their bones.
So you get customized to obesity.
Right.
Seems normal. Yeah. After a while.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that, and this phenomena...
That's probably why, and is that the explanation for why sometimes we see obesity in families?
It could be.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's habits as well, but...
Right, right. And one really interesting thing they found is that you can be a carrier for this even without becoming obese yourself. Like, if you have a friend who gains weight, you have another friend, she doesn't know the first friend... But when she starts, let's say you exercise together and she starts saying, I'm going to bag out today. Then you sort of somewhere in your head, you think, well, you know, I know other chubby people. It's not such a big problem.
So you don't say, no, you can't bag out. You got to be there. You got to commit. Come meet me at the gym. You know, you say, it's OK. It's OK.
Yeah.
Interesting. We're talking with Jennifer Nestlein. It's brainchildmag.com. And the new spring edition is out and it includes Jennifer's essay on parenting and the contagion of parenting. So how does all this social science research apply to parenting?
Well, I think not a lot of it has been done in terms of parenting, because some of it, I think, just seems so obvious. I mean, if you look at consumerism, you know, your kid, all of a sudden, every child that your child knows has, say, a Nintendo DS.
Yes,
clearly.
I know that. And then it became the Nintendo DSi.
Yes.
That would get online.
Right.
And it was like, I remember my daughter, she's 9, saying, I got to have a DSi. I'm like, you have a DS that you don't touch.
Oh, we
Why do you have to have a DSi? Well, because so-and-so has one, and so-and-so has one, and so-and-so has one, and I just feel left out.
I know. And then next year they'll have one that'll, like, you know, give you a haircut and walk your dog or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you have to have that, too.
So, and again, other examples of where you see this, because you've lived this, right?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I mean, I started out the article talking about how we went when my son was in kindergarten, we went to the potluck that, you know, the school would have for all of the new families coming in. You're supposed to bring, you know, your cultural background in the form of food and,
yeah,
you know, so.
Am I the only one in the world that is incredibly uncomfortable at those things? Those are like the most uncomfortable things in the world. It's just all these parents standing around staring at each other, and you don't. I don't know these people.
I know.
Some of them are friends, but it's funny. I don't feel left out.
Right.
That's the strange. I don't feel like motivated to go up and say, "Hey, what's going on? You know, include me." I'm sort of comfortable being uncomfortable.
Well, they're actually the guy I was talking to, Nicholas Christakis, was saying when you know all the kids start doing something, you're in. You know, what they call a liminal state. So, you know, everybody's in the same boat. So all of your guards are sort of down and, you know, everybody recognizes that nobody exactly feels like, you know, queen of the hop there.
Yeah, yeah. So, and again, before we take a break, how did you begin the article? Would you go to these potlucks?
Oh, yeah, I went to this and I realized these people, I'm going to be with them for a very long time because Caleb doesn't graduate until 2017. I better get used to these faces.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So that's why I call it the village.
And it's sort of this idea that you sort of, you know, I guess many thousands of years ago, we had these extended family groups and we raised our children in these groups, whether we were stationary or moving around. And now those groups are sometimes our family, sometimes strangers that we've just connected with via a school or a church. And
right.
Yet we're still with this group for years as these kids are raised in these groups, assuming you stay put with the same job and house or same neighborhood for any period of time.
Right. And I thought it was pretty, you know, I had always thought of myself as somebody who is not influenced by peer pressure. But I think what it is really, I just fall in. I feel comfortable with the decisions that this group makes. We can pretend all we want that we're like these, you know, loners and rebels. But really, it's, you know, just I chose to live here probably because I feel comfortable with the decisions that the group makes.
Yeah. And those decisions that then, as you say, wave through this group, and then all of a sudden all the kids have to have a DSI, or if they don't get one, they're at least talking about one. There's this unbelievable, almost subconscious peer pressure that's at work among the children and the adults.
Right. And yeah, and so the obvious example is the consumerism stuff, but there I looked at something else. There's this disciplinary measure called hot saucing, and I'm not sure if you'd heard of it.
No.
I hadn't before I started research on this.
Sounds like something at the Playboy Mansion or something. Hey, let's go out to the grotto and hot sauce. What is that? It's disciplinary?
Yes. And you don't need a leotard to do it. No,
We're talking with Jennifer Nestline, the co-founder and editor at Brainchild Magazine, online at brainchildmag.com. And the most recent edition has just been released, the spring 2011 edition. You were talking earlier about hot saucing as a disciplinary tactic that runs through waves of these groups of parents that are connected either by family, neighborhood, church, or school that find themselves in sort of communal types of parenting groups. Even though you may not know these people, what they do influences what you do when it comes to parenting.
Yes, this thing called hot saucing was a phenomenon I came across, and you know Lisa Welchel from Facts of Life, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Blair. She was Blair on Facts of Life. Yes.
Joe Polnicek's nemesis.
I have to say, a discussion of hot saucing, and I have no idea what it is. I didn't know it would start with the Facts of Life and Blair, but let's nonetheless go right ahead.
So she and Tootie, no, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
She's now a conservative Christian writer, and she came up with a book, probably 10 years ago now, where she talks about one thing that you could do if your kid is having offenses of the tongue, as she puts it, which is, you know, like talking back or lying, put a dab of Tabasco sauce in the kid's mouth as, you know, as punishment, which... You know, I'm sure half the people listening think that's crazy, and the other
I'm
half
one of those.
Think, yeah. Well.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, it took off. So I saw this article in the Washington Post years later that said that it's like spreading out. You know, people were keeping packets of hot sauce on them for if their kid, you know, was at the playground and started mouthing off. Anyway, this.
So it's like the modern day: wash your mouth out with soap, drink a little Tabasco.
Right, right.
Oh,
yeah.
Gosh.
So, a practice as sort of bizarre as that can move through a network. And I think, you know, these networks are sort of like super organisms where some things can take off if the people seem amenable to it, and some things just will sort of die. Like by listening to this, okay, maybe this is the first time you've heard of hot saucing. So if you go tell your friends, hey, I heard about this new thing, you know, it could take off among your friends. But if you, in the same token, go to your friends and say, oh my God, I heard about this horrible thing.
Yeah.
You know, that's probably going to stop it, at least on your end of.
It really,
you know,
is fascinating sociology and how ideas sort of percolate through a community. Because,
yeah.
I mean, the same idea, we're talking about parenting, but it could be applied to politics.
Oh, yeah.
You know, any topic that you can pick. This is how human groups work.
Right.
You know, we have these, we bring to the table these preconceived cultural notions and frames, and as new information and new experiences come in, we very quickly have opinions about them.
Right.
And we share those opinions with others, and that sort of acts like a wave then through the community.
Yeah.
So you also write about breastfeeding.
Yes.
What is the status on breastfeeding? As the editor of a child magazine, where are we with that?
I don't have an opinion on it. I am not a, you know, pressure you to breastfeed. I am not a, you know, telling you not to breastfeed as a magazine.
You don't take a stance as a magazine.
No.
You just empower the mother. It's your decision.
Right. And actually that's the stance on almost all parenthood issues in Brainchild. We're sort of.
Yeah. But how does breastfeeding works the same way? If you like it, you sort of spread that idea to your friends,
right.
And you can see breastfeeding then become more common.
Right, and you can almost really become a carrier of that too. So if you have a friend who is breastfeeding in front of you and has been doing it for a while, even if you don't do it yourself, when you go to a park and see, you know, a two-year-old breastfeeding, you don't. It's not even worth a second glance because you've become sort of, you know, tolerant of it.
Yeah. What about teenage motherhood? You write about this as well.
Yes. It's not actually in this article, but we had a past issue about teenage motherhood. And I was noticing in this that I think that, you know, this is the reason they used to, one of the reasons they used to keep teenage pregnant girls out of school because, you know, just sort of this instinct that pregnancy is contagious. And actually, among siblings, there has been research found that pregnancy is contagious. You're more likely to have a baby within, I think it's something like 24, 36 months or something like that, if your sister does.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. So they would take women out of school. There was the shame factor, but there was also the other girls are going to see this and
right.
They're going to want a baby or think this is normal or this is an option or whatever.
It's thinkable. The unthinkable becomes thinkable.
Yeah. Jennifer Nestline, the new edition of Brainchild magazine just hit the newsstands. And where can folks pick it up here in town?
Oh, normally at Barnes & Noble, at Whole Foods, at Integral Yoga.
There you go. Jennifer Nestline, the co-founder and the editor of Brainchild magazine, online at brainchildmag.com. Jennifer, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.